Double to Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. And we are live today out here at the Golf Club of Tennessee to support the 2022 Coaches versus Cancer Tennessee Golf Classic. And to find out more information on how to get involved. So all your coaches are out here, your basketball coaches. Sean Farnham, who runs the event, is out here. And to find out more information or to get involved in 2023, please visit CoachesVersusCancerTN.com. We are glad to be out here again hanging out. So last night, I watched Tennessee baseball. Now, last week, I asked the question when they got the number one seed in the NCAA baseball tournament, did people in Nashville care? And most people, I think, don't. But I do think it's on TV, and I do think people are watching, and I watched. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I did not watch every second of those games, and I don't feel like I had to. And I also couldn't tell you who the seventh inning guy is, the eighth inning guy. I now know some of the players. Lipscomb.
Mm-hmm.
Gilbert.
Yep.
Ortega.
Yep. Jarrell. Big fan of JoJo.
Evan Russell's the catcher. I
yes,
know that.
Yes, you know that now. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, everyone knows Evan Russell now.
I know Drew Beam.
Uh-huh. He started yesterday.
And I know they got a guy that throws 105 miles per hour.
Ben Joyce.
Okay. And again, I don't think I need to, I don't think that discussions of, you know, I think their bullpen looks pretty good. I don't think that that is, I don't think anybody cares. Outside of like the diehard Tennessee fan who's like glued to the television because it's your team. Because let's not kid ourselves, if it were the Titans or the Predators at the championship level in the playoffs, we'd watch all 4 hours of it and it would go by in 20 minutes.
100%.
But again, I don't think the greater population feels that way. More importantly, there are two things that happened over the weekend. One, I do not care about at all. And that was the center. He was the center fielder, right, for Tennessee?
Either center fielder or right fielder.
Well, he hit the ball to center field. The guy from Georgia Tech. It was essentially the play that changed the game last night.
Mike Honcho.
That's not his real name, though, right?
No.
So, anywho,
Jordan Beck is his real name.
The player from Georgia Tech played this ball like a freaking little leaguer. Like, I was embarrassed that he couldn't read the ball off the bat. A very crucial mistake, which I then later saw Arkansas make a similar mistake 5 minutes later. But that's neither here nor there. And so I didn't see this until Twitter brought it up. But apparently Jordan Beck, as he's rounding first, running for second, sticks his middle finger out and is just giving the guy out in center field the finger.
And also chanting what the middle finger means.
So, I mean, again, sounds like the dude's a little kooky. That's neither here nor there. Sometimes guys like that win. Ever heard of Lenny Dykstra? He won. I have no problem with that. I was listening to Robbie and Retro this morning, and they were getting all kinds of texts. You know, like Vandy Bob was texting and being like, they should ban him for forever. And, you know, UT Charlie was like, that's our guy. That's our guy. You know, whatever. And again, I think most people don't care. And put me in the group of people that don't care. I doesn't bother me. Now, if I was the commissioner of the SEC, it'd be a little different of how I would have to pretend how I feel about it. But again, do I really care? No, this is Tennessee is a team of frat boys, and it is quite interesting to watch. And the coach is a frat boy. He's like the pledge master or whatever the leader position is of the frat boy, the fraternity. And the other guys are all a bunch of frat boys. And that's fine. That's their attitude. It's worked for them. They're good. They're going to win some games.
And when they win games, you can act like that.
Oh, well, hey, you can talk the talk if you can walk the walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, here's what I didn't like. And this is on Friday. And this happened right when we were getting off the air, because I think the game started like right when we were getting off the air. But Tennessee's pitcher, Evan Russell, did not play Friday. And I remember you telling me that it was an undisclosed reason, and Tony Vitello would talk about it after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, you have to understand what the internet is in 2022 as compared to what the internet was in 2004. I mean, if you watch episodes of Seinfeld, which ended in 1998, they were talking about the internet. So it's been around for a while now. But there's some places where the internet affects the majority of people more so than other places. And I would say Knoxville, Tennessee, and the Tennessee Athletic Program, the internet very much gets its way down from the keyboard warriors who, as Charles Barkley says, are sitting in their grandma's basement in their underwear with the chip crumbles on their chests. And somehow, some way, it ends up getting to every coach, player, and administrator at that school. So everybody starts speculating because Tennessee, you know, locked up whatever happened to the catcher. They locked it up in the safe and nobody was to know until after the game. The coach was going to talk about it. And all of a sudden, Tennessee Twitter goes into this speculation, just rumor churning. We know how this works. We do this. We speculate. And I found that to be so incredibly irresponsible of Tennessee when all they could have done is just said, Evan Russell's out sick today and we'll have an update after the game. Non-COVID illness, he's out sick. That's all they would have had to say. Now, apparently what happened was his dad came out, I guess, on Twitter and said he's been dealing with anxiety issues. Mm-hmm. And so
the stress, the pressure.
Did he play Saturday or did he just play Sunday?
He played Saturday.
He played Saturday. So he was out Friday, he played Saturday, and he played yesterday, Sunday. Great. Great. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the dad didn't have to do that. And whatever. Well, I guess somebody on Twitter, because Twitter's the one place where you can just make stuff up. You ever heard of QAnon?
It's not the one place.
You just make stuff up. And it's like, yep, see? Twitter said it. So I guess, and again, I'm not diving in deep on this, but because Tennessee felt that they had to keep Evan Russell being sick and out for the game, they felt that they had to keep that G14 classified, that all of a sudden, you know, Twitter makes something up. The guys, I've never even heard of these guys who were calling the Stillwater Regional, I believe it was. You know, so ESPN Plus, if you're one of the 13 people watching Arkansas versus whatever, then you would have heard the color analyst on the broadcast say that Evan Russell was suspended for PEDs. Now, that's what the rumor was on Twitter as everybody was speculating, because again, the reason that the guy was out was G14 classified. Not allowed to know, not supposed to know, not supposed to whatever. And I got to be honest with you, I think that they did the kid a disservice by not just releasing at game time, everybody's got a PR director, of releasing at game time, Evan Russell's been scratched with a non-COVID illness. Tony Vitello hopes that he'll be in the lineup on Saturday. All you have to say. And all that goes away. Well, then, again, because the internet fuels apparently everything that happens with the Tennessee Athletic Department, all of a sudden, now, I got off this plane in Dallas on Saturday, and I see the athletic director, Danny mm-hmm. White of Tennessee, demanding an apology from ESPN. And I'm like, what the hell did I just miss? And apparently, it was that in that Stillwater Regional, which might have been on ESPN 7 or whatever it was, that Stillwater Regional, that the color analyst said that he had been suspended for PEDs. They talked about it like it had happened. It was misinformation. ESPN's color analyst and their broadcast crew shouldn't have gone with it.
It was irresponsible for them to on the broadcast.
It was a bad look.
Yes.
It was something that if we did, I would be disappointed in us. If we were to say,
especially when you're talking about the integrity of a student athlete.
Yeah. But again, the difference between this year and last year is what? They get paid now, so.
Also, that's not fair. You can't just throw around rumors and claiming them as truth just because he can make money.
Well, I mean, we really can't do that about the NFL either.
No, so why does it? Why is it okay that now that he's making money, you can just throw rumors around?
Well, the whole differential of like, now, hey, he's a college kid now. Like, I used to never really believe in saying college kids sucked. But now they're making money, so that's their job.
But you can't make up rumors about NFL players either and go with them as truth.
No. I'm telling you.
That's irresponsible.
If we did that, I would be disappointed in us.
I would agree.
I would not be happy, and we speculate on everything. But I would not be happy with us.
But we label it as speculation.
But I also, Tennessee should be above that. Like, the athletic director should not be tweeting out, demanding an apology from ESPN because of something that how many people actually knew that they said that in the Stillwater Regional on that broadcast? How many people actually knew that?
I only saw it on Twitter.
I only know it because they made a big deal about it. It's like, it's ridiculous. So again, I don't have a problem. The kid wants to hit the ball to center field, and the Georgia Tech center fielder played it like a friggin' little leaguer. I mean, embarrassing. Georgia Tech should be embarrassed at how they played that ninth inning. They played so scared. I mean, this is the one thing that I talked to an ACC coach today, and he told me that basically that what Georgia Tech did yesterday, Notre Dame's not going to do this weekend. But then again, Notre Dame could probably get scared too. But, I mean, Georgia Tech played that ninth inning scared. I have no problem. I mean, it's kind of classless, but Tennessee's cool with that.
It's classless. I wouldn't endorse any player to do that. And if he has to deal with the personal ramifications, then he can do that.
But what also, are the ramifications?
He didn't hurt anyone.
Like, if I'm the commissioner of the league, I'm not suspending the kid.
No.
So, no. What are you, and you can't fine him. So, it's not, I mean, you can reprimand him. Okay, whatever. Like I said, if I was commissioner of the SEC, I probably would be placing a call into Vitello, and I'd probably be like, hey, we're not doing that. Like, you guys push the envelope.
Tell him don't do that in the future.
We're not doing that.
He's like, a projected first-round pick in the MLB draft. If there's a team that wants to pass on him because they saw him do that, okay, that's his prerogative.
Well, that's not going to happen. I believe that, you know, and you can threaten Vitello a little bit. Like, hey, man. Like,
reel it in.
If you guys get out of hand, like, I'm going to suspend you. Like, I already suspended you once for bumping the umpire. Like, so, you know, calm it down. But that's it. You know, slap on the wrist. Whatever.
He didn't hurt anyone.
I don't have a problem with that. The holding the information about the catcher, you don't have to tell everybody that he's dealing with an anxiety issue. You don't have to tell him that he's got the flu. You don't have to tell him that he's got dandruff or Lyme disease or whatever. You don't have to tell them. In fact, shocking, you can't tell them. It's against the law. But you can say, he's out with an illness. It's a non-COVID illness. We hope he's back in the lineup tomorrow.
And that crushes all speculation.
It's over. And I thought that was such a minor league move by Tennessee. You know, like, you're the number one seed in the tournament. Your starting catcher is out. And you let it, and to now know that it's an anxiety thing, isn't that the last thing you want with a kid dealing with anxiety is to have everybody speculating about why he's not playing? That doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, again, Vandy Bob is going to say that we should ban Tennessee from competing because their player stuck his middle finger in the air at the center fielder for Georgia Tech, and I don't believe that. But I thought that was a real lowbrow move by Vitello on Friday to not say that the kid's out sick. I mean, that's
all you have to say.
That's protecting the kid. Instead, what you did was you opened it up, and I'm not defending ESPN either, but to act like you're you know, blameless in this when all you had to say was he was out sick and that it wasn't COVID. Because if somebody's out sick, then they're going to be like, oh, is it COVID? Could there be a COVID outbreak? What's going to happen? You know, like, so say it's not COVID and move on. That's all they had to do. And they didn't do it. So those are my two thoughts on the big two subjects that came up this weekend of the Tennessee Regional. I do have a thought on the actual baseball itself. I got three takeaways on that. We'll do that, and we'll just get to your phones because, you know, why not? 615-737-1025 is our phone number, and your thoughts on those, go ahead and put them in there as well. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, we are live out here hanging out again at the Coaches versus Cancer Tennessee Golf Classic, where, again, Coaches versus Cancer has raised over $135 million for cancer research. So, again, go to CoachesVersusCancerTN.com. Hey, 102.5 The Game, 106.3 The Game, and 102.9 The Buzz, and the Predators will host a 615-day celebration at Ford Center Antioch on Wednesday, June 15th that will be benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. For more details and to bid on silent auction items, visit thegamenashville.com/615-day.
We've seen who this team is. We've seen that they play this villain role. They love playing this villain role. They really embrace it. It's a us versus everyone, hate us or love us, whatever, we don't care attitude. And that's just another moment reflecting that. You know, it's not great, not the best look, but it's, you know, as Beck said after the game, oh, I just kind of blacked out and celebrating kind of thing. And yeah, that's who this team is. They don't really care what you think about them. And they've kind of taken that on for two seasons now, basically since Drew Gilbert flipped his bat against Georgia Southern two seasons ago. It's kind of been their thing, and they haven't really shied away from it. And last night kind of took it to a different level, I guess.
So there you go. The kid stuck his middle finger in the air, and everybody, you know, whatever, the Tennessee kid. I got to be honest. You heard that was Mike Wilson who was on Robbie and Retro today, and you heard right there where he said that, you know, I guess this started 2 years ago when Drew Gilbert threw his bat against Georgia Southern. I'm sorry, what? What happened 2 years ago against Georgia Southern? I have no recollection of that happening.
I think it was a bat flip situation, and everyone was all up in arms about that. Same thing last year.
But do you remember anything? Do you remember anything about that specific bat flip from 2 years ago?
No.
I don't either.
I remember the walk-off grand slam, I think, against, you know, whatever rinky-dink team Tennessee played in the regionals last year.
I mean, honest to God, like, they oh, yeah, everybody hates us. It's like, I'm not sure that really everybody hates you. I mean, I think there's a lot. I think Vanderbilt fans, Vanderbilt baseball fans legitimately hate you. That I will
give
you.
That is fair.
But, I mean, I don't think, like, I just don't think that many people have an investment positively or negatively in Tennessee baseball.
I would say diehard baseball fans, SEC baseball fans probably do.
Yeah. Like, if you're a diehard Arkansas fan,
yeah. Oh,
maybe
you probably
they did
hate
something
the Vols
over the last couple of years that pissed you off. But in general, probably not. Now, I do have three takeaways. I want to get to these, and then we'll get to your phones at 615-737-1025. One, I don't think Tennessee's as dominant as everybody was making them out to be coming into the weekend. Now, I'm not to say that the 27 Yankees never got down, but they were down 4-0 against Campbell, who? And then they were down 4-0 yesterday against Georgia Tech. And if Georgia Tech had any stones in their pants, they would have won that game last night. I mean, I thought Georgia Tech, and I'm not here to diminish Tennessee's regional win. This is why you get number one seed, so that you get to play the worst teams and you get to play them at home in your ballpark. And I think we should eliminate the rule in college baseball where home teams and regionals are away batting teams. I think it's
so
stupid.
Make any sense. If you're the number one seed, I think you get to be the home team.
You should get
every
to be the home
single
team.
Game you play.
Now, super regional, I could see that being different because it's a best out of three. So, you know, let's flip it or whatever. But again, I digress. But I mean, I thought Georgia Tech did as much damage to themselves in that ninth inning of any team that I've seen in a long time. That was a pure self-destruction. And it's not even the way that the center fielder, when the guy before he flipped his middle finger off, when he hit the ball over his head, the center fielder completely misread that ball. That was the second big mistake of that inning. The first was Tennessee got the tying run on base at first. They brought in their designated pinch runner to go in there and probably try to steal second, like Dave Roberts with the Red Sox back in 2004. And instead, they hit a soft ground ball to second. Well, I don't know if you ever played baseball. I'm sure they probably do the same thing in softball.
I played softball, yeah.
Where, you know, you're practicing and it's like, all right, runners at first and second, one out. Hits the ball right there, and then the third baseman, you know, what's he do with the ball? You know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, Georgia Tech, they got to realize that they're the home team. So a tie is not the end of the world. You tie 4-4, you go to the, 4-4, you go to the ninth inning, you score a run, which they ended up scoring runs in the ninth inning, but you score a run in the ninth inning, you win. And so that's why they always say play for the tie. Well, the second baseman on a soft dribbler didn't know what to do. And he tried to shovel it in time. And I saw the ball hit on the ground, and I'm like, you're not getting two out of this. Go to first. Go to first. Go to first. And then tell the pitcher, hey, don't worry about that runner at second. If he scores, he scores. If not, don't worry about it. Instead, he panicked, threw the ball to second. Guy was safe. And all of a sudden, now it's first and second, and the fans are into it, and they got the top of their order coming up, and you could just see everybody on Georgia Tech's team just, like, freaking shrivel up. And then the next ball gets hit over the center fielder's head, and it wasn't like he belted the ball over his head. The center fielder thought he read it off the bat. He didn't. It was a play that I've seen in high school before. I mean, it should not happen in college baseball at that level where a guy misreads a ball off the bat like that in that kind of spot. So Georgia Tech just completely fell apart last night. And so if Tennessee is going to get down to these teams, I will say this. You get in Omaha, you get down by 4 runs, and some team's throwing an ace out there, you're in trouble. And Omaha is a different beast. Now, I think they're going to beat Notre Dame this weekend. I don't think it's guaranteed, but I'd probably say like 90%. But you get out there, and I know everybody, all these Tennessee fans think this is a team of destiny. They think this team is untouchable. I heard somebody today in local radio who was like, oh, yeah, I think they proved this weekend that they can beat anybody. I'm like, oh, it's going to get a little bit tougher around here. So maybe not as dominant as we thought, where one loss, especially in Omaha, can be so devastating to everything you're trying to do.
I think more so, you know, they can beat anybody. I think more so what I learned this weekend more than that is how much Tennessee really plays off of momentum, because they had no momentum whatsoever offensively in the first 6 or 7 innings. And then they get a guy on first, and then that guy goes to second, and then you start to feel the momentum build. Then they get the bases loaded. Then Trey Lipscomb gets hit in the hands. Then they're scoring runs, and then the bats start moving.
Think about this. If the center
this wasn't
fielder,
the first time, like throughout the regular season.
If the center
season,
fielder catches the ball,
how much does that change the game?
The runner probably tags and goes to third. So you're at first and third with one out. Well, the pitcher for Georgia Tech was throwing a sinker ball, and he had thrown 2-6-4-3 double plays in the seventh and eighth innings. So, I mean, if that's the case, if I'm Georgia Tech's pitching coach, I'm going out to the mound right there and telling him, hey, you've already done this twice.
Do it again.
Just let him hit it on the ground. And then all of a sudden, like, that's how big, and that's why, I mean, again, I'm not taking away from Tennessee's win. This is why you get to play those teams when you are the number one seed, because you earned that. But I do believe that, I don't think Tennessee's as dominant as everybody's making them out to be. And there's two specific reasons why. Number one, to your point about feeding off the momentum. I think that playing at that stadium, I think that stadium rocked Georgia Tech last night.
Like,
that,
yeah.
It
was loud and rowdy.
Two, that's a small ballpark. And TD Ameritrade is a huge ballpark. And it is hard to hit the ball out of the yard out there. And it has been, that ballpark's been open for 10 years now. And for 10 years, it's been hard to hit the ball out of the ballpark out there at TD Ameritrade. Now, again, this Tennessee team's awesome, but I just don't think there is I told you this story before the show. Keith Jones, when the Predators won the Western Conference in 2017, they were down 2-0 after the first two games of the Stanley Cup. And Keith Jones was on NBC. And Keith Jones said, Nashville fans that are new to this, like, just know that it's okay. This is still a series. You got to go to Bridgestone and defend it, but it's all okay. And kind of the message from Keith Jones was, hey, you guys are new to this. You guys don't understand. You know, this is in hockey, being down 2-0, going back. It's okay. It's okay, everybody. For me, I almost want to say Vols fans. Vandy fans will tell you this because they've been through this. Vols fans, you're new to this. I know they got to Omaha last year, but it's different. They're new to this. It's hard. Like, it is freaking
really hard. That's the reason why Aria Gerson put out a stat, but it was like one in the past 20. Aria Gerson, she works for the Tennessean. She covers Vanderbilt for the Tennessean. One in the past 20 or 25, 20-something years, only one seed going into the tournament has actually won it all. It's really hard. And, of course, the counter to that is Tennessee is better than probably any of those teams in the past 20, 25 years. Tennessee is a dominant team. This could be one of the best baseball teams in the history of baseball. But the only thing that will be able to solidify that is if you win in Omaha.
Yeah.
It's a really hard tournament to win. It's not the first time that Tennessee's been down in the middle of the game. They get their stuff together in the seventh or eighth innings. I've seen it a lot from Tennessee throughout the regular season that they kind of just, you know, they're just farting around the first seven innings, and then they really get into a groove late and score seven or eight runs the last few innings. Not the first time that they've done that. But to your point, it's hard.
It's hard. And, I mean, I've seen teams. My college roommate played on a Louisville team that was a decent team that went to Omaha, but they weren't a great team. And they got smoked in the two games that they were in Omaha. And they came in here and beat Vanderbilt, who was the betting favorite to win the championship. And, I mean, the Vanderbilt people were stunned when they came in here and won that regional 2-0 or super regional 2-0. Like, this thing's hard, and especially when you get to Omaha, and it's not like, you know, okay, you lose a game, and then you got to beat Campbell twice to go play. No, you lose a game in Omaha, and you got to go through the best teams, and you got to beat them twice, and it's hard. So to Tennessee fans, like, no, like, I know you're excited. I know you're into this.
And they have every right to be excited. This is a fun team to watch.
This is really, really hard. We'll go to your phones. Plus, Joe Rexroad. Boy, he was, what's the right word? Just sanctimonious this morning. And yet, I think he committed the same crime that the person he's mad at did. So we'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, let me tell you about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love those guys. My friends at Hiller, they have been fantastic. They've been taking care of my home for years, and they can do the exact same for you. They're also proud supporters of the Tennessee Volunteers and the Vanderbilt Commodores who are playing right now, and the Predators as well. There's no better time to upgrade your essential home systems than this month with my friends at Hiller. Until the end of June, Hiller is offering zero interest for 60 months on select new HVAC systems, zero interest for 12 months on new tankless water heaters, and zero interest for 12 months on new whole home generators. If you know you need a new system for your home, do it this month. These financing offers are available for a limited time only to help you stay comfortable and cool all summer long and handle the payments later. Visit happyhiller.com for all the details. As always, happy you will be, or the service is free. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Again, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Going to tell you with 100% honesty, because someone told me that it may come up in this thing and I didn't even think about it, but for about 2 seconds today when someone, I don't know any of the ESPN stuff. I honestly don't. If you gave me $1 million and said, say what's – I know there's a lot of stuff that went going around. Well, we could pick any topic you want to. With social media now, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. So I'm not trying to sound like a cool guy or be disrespectful, but I honestly don't care. And a big part of that is I got my hands full here. I appreciate that our fans give me more credit than they should, and I run into people at Ollie B and say, you're killing it. I'm not doing anything. Drew killed the ball tonight, so I got my hands full. I wish I would have managed the game a little bit better tonight. I don't think I destroyed it, but I thought I could. So that's kind of where my energy is. So, again, kind of just to put that to rest for now.
That was Tony Vitello on the ESPN PED suspension, that the rumors that were floated, the Tennessee catcher was scratched on Friday night. The Tennessee gave no reason why, which is the coach's fault. Again, that's not the PR staff's fault. That's not the player's fault. That is the coach's fault. That if you scratch him, you have got to give an explanation to your PR guy and say, hey, just tell him that he's out, you know, that he's out for today. We hope to have him back in the lineup tomorrow. The end. They didn't, to Vitello's point. Social media goes crazy, and then all of a sudden it leads to a Stillwater regional game that I don't think most people watched. A Stillwater regional broadcast where they ran with a Twitter rumor that he was out for PEDs. Apparently the color analyst that brought it up, he has apologized in the spreading of misinformation. But the Tennessee fans, I mean, got on such a high horse. And I'll give Vitello credit for saying, like, hey, I got other things to worry about than demanding an apology from ESPN like his athletic director did. Let me just say this. This is your fault. I mean, this happened because of you. So I'm listening to the morning show today. I went on a walk this morning, and I'm on my morning walk listening to Robbie and Joe. And Joe, of course, and I knew, I was so expecting this too. I was like, goody. So I knew Joe was going to get all on his high horse about this, right? Like, this is like right up his alley.
Oh, yeah. He loves a good media scandal.
Oh, God. He loves it. So it was like, I mean, they should not have gone with this. I mean, the fact that they did and just.
They shouldn't have gone with it.
They shouldn't have.
It was irresponsible.
But it's the writer holier than thou. Like, you know, like the media writer that, you know, like when we wrote the story about
bad.
Aaron Rodgers buying a house, and the local scribes were, you know, holier than thou about, oh, you know, just because he's buying a house doesn't mean. Oh, what was that Adam Schefter reported? Oh, the Titans were interested. Oh, okay. Like, now it's different because Adam Schefter reported it, but it was just us talking about that he's open to join the Titans. It's like, oh, yeah, this is not news. This is, And so, anywho, Joe was so on the high horse about it. Well, I mean, I remember, what was it, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? I remember having to track down whether or not a rumor that started on the Robbie and Rex Road show. I had to track down whether or not it was true that John Hines got a 6-year contract. And when I talked to my source, I said, hey, I go, did you guys sign John Hines a 6-year deal? Yes. What? I was like, look, man, I tuned into Robbie and Rex Road, and they were talking about whether or not Hines signed a 6-year deal. So I put out there that he did not sign a 6-year deal. Then there was the guy texted into the text line like a couple weeks ago and said that Adam Schefter reported that Treylon Burks did not take his Allegra before practice, and that was why he had allergies and that Burks is expected to be full go going forward. And Robbie and Joe talked about that. And then the next segment, that same guy felt bad because he, you know, he screwed with Robbie
started
and Joe.
This whole storm.
Then he was like, hey, I was just playing around. That was just a joke. And so I texted Joe, and I was like, you can't be mad at this guy for falling for some of the things that you've fallen for. You can sit there and say, hey, man, like, you got to do better, which is what we've done. But you can't sit there and be like, that is irresponsible. That is.
It is, you know, irresponsible.
But you have to at least address that you've done it, too.
Yeah.
Well, you think he did that?
I don't know if Joe and Robbie did that or not.
No,
I do know for certain. I was listening to Robbie and Rex Road. The last segment, Joe said, I apologize for running with something that was not true.
I'm stunned because when I texted Joe about it, this is what he said this morning.
I have to do a pre-rant, okay?
Okay.
let me read this. Let me read this text from Stillman.
Okay.
Oh, good Lord, you cannot criticize people for running with internet rumors. You guys ran with Hines contract and a fake Schefter tweet. What do we run with on Hines contract?
We didn't run with anything. We read a text on a text line that said that he had 6 years and then literally said after it that it was not reported that it was 6 years. His listening skills are about as bad as a five-year-old. It's unbelievable sometimes.
Let me read the rest of this. They did the same thing. It happens. It's the coach's fault for not just saying he was ill and would be out.
Jared, go back to sleep. You're being pretty stupid this morning.
Yeah, that's insanely stupid. I will definitely admit that on the text line, someone's like, oh, Schefter tweeted this. So I read who had said it on the text line and said, well, this texter said that Schefter tweeted something. I read it. I cited who said it. And then we figured out it wasn't true pretty quickly. We didn't run with anything in a Hines contract. This is not that at all, Jared. This is a guy who stated as fact, didn't even say a rumor, a report. He stated as fact that this happened. It's not close to the same thing. Stop being an idiot.
He says it's not close to being the same thing. I think it's pretty close to being the same thing.
I think what the broadcaster did on Friday night was way more irresponsible than what Robbie and Joe did. Because stating as fact that somebody has a PED suspension.
Did you hear what the announcer said?
I saw a clip of it on Twitter.
I haven't heard what the guy said. So, I mean, like, again, this is my...
But that is so much worse.
I
so much worse.
But it's to me, it's kind of all the same. It's just, it's bigger. Like, so it's bigger when it's about...
It's worse.
I mean, again, the point of
that is a really big accusation to say that somebody is suspended for PEDs.
I know, but... I guess my bigger point here is that just like they got duped, this guy got duped. And that's the only
point.
And
to run with it is very irresponsible.
I mean, look, all I know is
that... To state it as fact is different than reading a text from the text line.
Well, again, they read the text from the text line that Schefter reported, and then they talked about it as if it was Schefter reporting. And then the guy said, no, I'm kidding. And then they were like, oh, we were just, you know, whatever. And that happens. It happens.
It does. It's happened to me before. I got duped in the text line.
I go back to this. Remember,
but I also didn't accuse anyone of being suspended for using steroids.
Remember the Debo's mom's Instagram video?
Yes.
And I was like, I need you to make sure that that's real. Like, we talked about it, like, before you told me that we had it. You sent it to me. And I'm like, okay, like, we're going to have to, like, figure out that this is real before we play this on the air. So I'm not saying that the broadcaster... I don't feel like the broadcaster, you know, was in the right by any means. But I also think, like, to get so sanctimonious about how dare you. I mean, look, it happens. It's not the end of the world. People shouldn't be fired. People should, hey, he said it. It was wrong. The end. I mean, Ian Rappaport got something wrong. I told Ian Rappaport he got it wrong. He told me I was wrong for him getting it wrong. And then he changed his report. And nobody cares about that. I mean, so to me, it's just like,
I think because it's accusatory rather than with the Ian Rappaport.
Sanctimonious.
With the Ian Rappaport, it was contract specifics. And what Ian Rappaport initially reported was wrong. You're right. But what the broadcaster did in that Arkansas game, it was an Arkansas game, right?
I don't know. It was
Stillwater Regional, which Arkansas is in, but it was so accusatory.
Was it like this kid's a bad person and his parents did everyone wrong because he injected himself?
You interpret that. If you hear somebody's got suspended for a PED, would you think he's a bad guy? A lot of people would.
I know, but then once it comes out that it didn't have, like, once it comes out that that's not the case, everybody can move on, right?
I mean, how many people were watching that game who maybe don't have a Twitter or could care less about Tennessee baseball, and they hear it and they run with it?
Because what
broadcasters say, how many people, you usually take as the truth.
How many people are watching that game?
I don't know.
Like a random Stillwater Regional baseball game where they don't even bother to put real announcers on the game?
I mean, how many clips did you see from that game where Oklahoma State scored 25 runs?
I'm going to be honest with you.
It was like a 25-14 game.
I'm going to be honest with you. And this is somebody who did nothing yesterday. Who literally watched sports all day. Zero.
I saw a lot about it.
Zero clips. Although I did think about this. I think that those two schools, Missouri State and Oklahoma State, have the two most obnoxious football coaches in all of college football.
What do you care about Missouri State's coach?
Bob Petrino.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So what's crazy is
I'm a man. I'm 40.
So the athletic director at Missouri State, I actually know because he was at Louisville when I was at Louisville. And he hired Petrino after Petrino, you know, crashed the car into the wall at Louisville. And, I mean, Petrino's just an all-time bad guy. I think everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And when they hired Bobby Petrino, I could not believe it. And I was like, Kyle, what you doing, baby? Like, what? What? And this was during a break, and I told Floyd that I was like, because Floyd hated Bobby Petrino. And I told Floyd that they hired Bobby Petrino, and I guess Les Steckel's brother was the coach. And they let Les Steckel's brother go. And you know how close Floyd and Les were.
Yeah.
And they let Les Steckel's brother go in order to bring in Bobby Petrino. And Floyd was like, they fired the nicest guy in college football to hire the biggest a-hole in college football. And so I've always kind of been like anti. I hope Bobby Petrino loses. I can't stand Bobby Petrino. So there you go on that front. Let's get to your phones next. Oh, Joe's texted us. Let's see. Joe said, yeah. Joe's mad because I didn't listen to the actual call of what they said. Joe goes, Jared is trying to compare our text line thing and the ESPN PED thing. And then he goes, well, I never listened to the call. I did not listen to the call of the broadcast, and I'm fine by it. Because again, guy ran with an internet rumor. I'm a process
Which is
guy.
Bad.
Guy ran with an internet rumor.
You shouldn't do that.
He apologized.
Which is
the
good.
The truth came out. Everybody lived. The end. Just like guy called in on their show with an internet rumor. They discussed it. People asked me if it was true. I found out it wasn't. We found out it wasn't. I texted them. They did. Everybody lived. It's okay. It's okay. Let's go to the phones on this next. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN. 1025 The Game. We got the Evan Russell call in.
From the ESPN announcers?
Yes.
Well, we do. The audio is not great, but hopefully we can make some of it out.
Okay, so I want to hear this because Joe is mad at us. Joe is mad at me.
Yeah, that's
because
fair.
I said I haven't listened to this call of the supposed suspension of, I'm guessing this is like somebody took a video with their phone of
and
the
posted
TV
it to Twitter.
And that's where. Yeah. All right, so let's hear it. Let's try to make it out. If the audio is bad, I'll deal with it later. Let's hear what this says.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Failed a drug test, and so Evan Russell, is suspended for the rest of the season. So Tennessee's going to have the whole rest of the team tested tomorrow, or the NCAA is. So it's going to be interesting to see if that's just a one-player thing or if that is going to be throughout that whole entire program. Performance-enhancing drugs is what it was said. That's a big blow to the Vols.
All the way, Tony Vitello put it, says Evan Russell was sick. So there are reports and speculation out what the actual issue is, but per the head coach in his post-game press conference, sick. Well, we know this, he did not play against Alabama State. Tennessee was fine. That team is loaded. And ready for a postseason run.
Oh, my God. That's what people are mad about.
But there were a lot of things in there that were just not true.
I know, but at least they right there said, hey, apparently
out for the rest of the season.
Apparently the coach says it's not the case.
The rest of the Tennessee team is going to be tested. Let's say you were watching TV. That's all you heard. You turned your TV off. You have a wildly different perception of what's going on than the truth.
But the guy actually said, Vitello says he's sick and he expects to play tomorrow.
Then that's a good clarification.
So they had it right there. They had it right there. Now, again, the guy goofed.
But the fact that that was even put out there. I mean, again, you goof sometimes.
After hearing this is more like the Allegra thing with Robbie and Joe and the Adam Schefter fake tweet than...
I don't think so.
The process is
you're
the same.
The process is the same, but the end result is different. Because you're talking about not taking your Allegra for a guy at OTAs.
Right, you're saying
versus
it's not serious.
Accusing a catcher of PEDs being out for the rest of the season and the rest of the team being
right.
Tested.
But
that's so much worse than allergies.
Again, you're looking at the substance of what was being talked about, right? So like if someone were
yes.
to say, you know, Jared Stillman tripped over himself and we found out that that's not true, or Jared Stillman robbed a gas station at gunpoint, the substance of what's being decided there is
those are
different.
Two very different things.
But I just don't think it's that big of a deal. And again, the guy said, actually, the coach reported, clearly somebody in the truck was like, hey, That's not what happened.
That's not true.
That's not what happened. Coaches come out there and said that. Oh, my God. I saw Clay Travis. Like, Clay Travis, the guy that got Greg Schiano unhired as Tennessee's football coach because of a backhanded, non-corroborated rumor about him being involved at Penn State. That guy wrote an article that was like, the Tennessee catcher should sue for defamation. I mean, according to reports and speculation, there was reports and speculation. Who reported it? Don't know. But so after I, so Joe gets mad at us, me, because I didn't listen to the call. I listened to the call, and now I think it's even more like what Joe did. So I, at this point, I mean, whatever. There's no arguing. Let's go to your phone lines because he's going to just be like, oh, it's not the same, you know, but the process is the same. Let's go to your text line. What do we have? Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Oh, excuse me. Let's go to Jeff in Kingston Springs. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Jared. Enjoy the show, but man, you could not be more off base on this. Think just blowing this over like it's no big deal. And regardless of how many people were watching the game, it's a national ESPN broadcast. And their announcer, just like Caroline said, he stated as fact, named the player, Evan Russell, that he had failed a drug test and was suspended for the rest of the year, and the rest of the team was going to be drug tested before their next game.
And how is anybody's life different because of that clip that we just played?
He told a blatant lie about an individual player and also about the team as a whole.
So if he had just said, Jeff, if he had just said, I've heard – or it's been reported.
Well, it wasn't reported.
Or, I mean, it was reported by somebody.
It wasn't reported, so that still would have been incorrect.
But it was reported by somebody. Somebody said it to him, right?
If Georgia Tech fan 123 in Atlanta tweets it, that's not necessarily a report.
Nope, that's what happens, though.
Have you ever heard,
and I appreciate your call, Jeff. Have you ever heard of this Twitter handle, Ballsack Sports?
Yes, I have.
So they literally put out a tweet. Like, they put out fake quotes. And what they do, and it's wild. The guy one time put out a fake Damian Lillard quote. And not even in small letters. Like, it was out there. And it was, as Damian Lillard said in his 47th sit-down interview with Ballsack Sports that has never happened. And so, like, they're telling you that it's not true. And the reactions to the tweet were people like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. They put out a fake tweet about how Kyrie Irving dominated James Harden every day in practice, and that's why James Harden demanded a trade. Stephen A. Smith goes on TV and goes, and then you hear the rumors about what happened at practice, and then I heard those weren't true, but then you see the relationship on the court, and you start to think maybe it is. And that's Stephen A.
saying rumors,
on a show that people are actually watching.
Rumors that aren't true to be able to support your
argument. He's starting to think that they might be true because...
But even still, that's different.
You know what's funny, though? You know where all this stuff starts?
Twitter
and message boards.
100%.
It all starts. The day that Ryan Johansson got hurt in 2017, I had somebody tweet at me and say, a friend of mine works at, you know, whatever hospital and said that one of the players is out for the year. Now, I can't go on the air and say, hey, I'm hearing someone's out for the year. But I heard about that at like 9 a.m. that morning. And at 4 o'clock, everybody found out Johansson was the one. Well, everyone found out that Johansson was hurt and that he had an emergency surgery and that he was out for the playoffs. And so, look, I would agree. The guy screwed up, but it's not a big deal. And not only that, on the call, they had the guy behind it. And again, it's just not a big deal. And just like I don't think the middle finger at the center fielder is a big deal. It's not
a
big deal.
Again, two different things. Do I think that this is worthy of a defamation case? No, I don't think it's worthy of a defamation case. But I'm not just going to brush it off like it's nothing. I'm not going to brush it off like it's just a goof. Because, yeah, it was a goof, but it was a big one.
I think if somebody had texted into the Robbie and Retro text line did you see Adam Schefter's tweet that said that Treylon Burks was suspended for PEDs? They would have had the same reaction as did you see the Adam Schefter tweet that said that the
but again, reading a text from the text line is different than stating something on a call during a game.
He said, according to reports.
And what are those
reports? And speculation.
Did he get Barry McCockenard? Because it's happened to me before, too.
Yes, that's the thing.
But I'm also not calling a national broadcast and calling it from a report. Because, yeah, it was reported, but not a very reputable source.
Well, I would want you to approach these broadcasts like you're doing a national broadcast.
And I do.
So, I mean, it's the same.
But before I say something on our show, I check to make sure. Was it actually SportsCenter?
And I'm not saying that old buddy, you know, didn't screw up a little bit. But to sit there again, he did screw up. The sanctimony.
He reported incorrect information. That is a screw up.
So what are you going to do, fire him?
No, I'm not going to fire him, but I'm not going to write it off as nothing.
So again, the writer.
What, you to admit that it's not a teeny tiny deal. That's what I want.
Oh, let me say this. Everybody watch out. That look right in the camera. It's not a big deal. There you go.
Okay. That's fine.
It's not a big deal.
Well, when I start to report that Derrick Henry is going to retire because he's sick and tired of Nashville.
According to who?
According to a report.
Okay.
I can say it was according to a report. You cannot get mad at me. When we roll with that for an hour and then I realize that it's not true.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you know this about me. That's not something that gets me all too upset, but...
If we roll for an hour that Derrick Henry's retiring and it's not true information, I think you'd have a bee in your bonnet about that one.
I mean...
According to reports, though.
I mean, as I said at the top of this segment, at the top of this hour, if we did this, I would not be happy with that. And again, like I said, it shouldn't have happened, but again...
It shouldn't have happened.
Just the whole, finger, wagging. Guy screwed up.
Yeah.
Do we even know who the guy is? Do we even know who the guy is? Who's the guy who said it?
Does it matter?
Yes.
Why?
Because that's my point, is these guys they've got on there are 977th to be calling games on the depth chart.
But the thing is, it's not about him. It's not about him saying it. It's about the person who he was talking about. Because he doesn't really have to deal with the outrage that happened after it.
I will say this.
Evan Russell did.
I will say
this.
And
that's not fair of Evan Russell to have to deal with something that wasn't true.
I mean, again, the coach... To me, the coach is the one who's at fault as far as Evan Russell's concerned.
He's not completely innocent
in this situation. The program set him up. But the bigger thing here is, again, as somebody who... when Dwayne Haskins died, it was right when I jumped on the air that morning to do Sirius. And I literally said to myself, okay, how do I do this? How do I talk about Dwayne Haskins, who I don't know, mm-hmm. who I've never covered, mm-hmm. who I know so little about? How do I talk about his death? And at the same time, turn around and say, and now we're going to talk about Tiger Woods.
It's hard.
And all I was saying was, Jared, whatever you do, just don't be insensitive. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, little did I know that three clicks up the dial, Gil Brandt was just letting it fly on NFL radio about...
That was bad. And
that's my way of saying that if you think nobody's listening, there's somebody listening. But I just don't think it's that big of a deal. And I'm standing by it. Now, look, if I was the guy's boss, and this is the guy at Tennessee throwing the middle finger out to the center fielder at Georgia Tech. If I was the commissioner of the SEC, I'd be picking up the phone and we'd be talking and we'd be having a conversation. And that's one thing. But would I really care that much? Nah, probably not. 615-737-1025. I feel like we got a lot of texts we haven't gotten to. So let's do that next. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.